You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
First and goal from the five for the Rams. Akers, a one-man gang for the touchdown. 122 of the Rams, 196 yards for that guy, Cam Akers, who has been a star today.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Hour number two on a Tuesday, Costos and Barkley on this potentially the final day of the NBA season. And the final hour of the show, it's the Power Hour. All our bets for tonight, side total props for game six. I got 10 of them.
Just 10.
10 props. Yeah. And also the side and total. Ken's got 5 props. Ken's got a bet on the total for sure, maybe the side. Rick's got props. Tyler Morales going to have props. We are locked and loaded. That's final hour of the show. All our bets in. Yeah, we'll do some baseball too. And hour number three, Noob's going to join us, Alex Christensen, his bets for tonight. James Mazzola going to join us, bets for the 3M Open this weekend, PGA Tour. But this hour, all about the National Football League. Will Brinson's going to join us in 20 minutes from CBS Sports, the Pick Six podcast, give us some of his picks in the futures market, including an interesting one for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And we will be sandwiched by two segments here, continuing what we did yesterday on the show, which was your tweets, dear listener and dear viewer, with some of your favorite bets on NFL futures this year. Continue to chime in. Tweet us at You Better You Bet. If you're watching the show on YouTube, thank you very much. YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, where you can talk to the fellow You Betters and let us know some of your thoughts. If they're good, Eli and company will put them up on the screen and we will discuss. Now, unfortunately, we have to lead this hour today. The soundbite you heard coming back from break, of course, courtesy of Fox Sports, courtesy of the great Joe Buck. Cam Akers, the soon-to-be second-year running back of the Los Angeles Rams, who obviously closed the season with a flourish, was outstanding in the wild card win over Seattle, was outstanding in the divisional round loss in Lambeau to the Green Bay Packers. This really sucks for multiple reasons. Cam Akers, done for the season. ESPN's Adam Schefter tweeting it this morning. Torn Achilles for Cam Akers. That sucks. That's awful. So we will get to the impact of that, what it means for the Rams, if it should change the way you view the LA Rams. And at Big Ticket Show, Ken tweeted us yesterday. He liked a lot of Rams props, plus 1,300 to win the Super Bowl. McVay coach of the year, 15-1. Stafford MVP, 16-1. So there's a lot to get into here on the LA Rams, of course, centered around the season-ending injury suffered by running back Cam Akers.
Yeah, I think this is one way in which, like, I would make the argument that pro and college markets function differently. So, like, I'll give you an example. I was watching like a ton of North Carolina condensed games the last few days. I was doing like a lot of ACC college football work, and it's like impossible to watch any North Carolina game and not be like, Carter and Javonte Williams are like insanely important to what they do, where like if one of them had gotten hurt, if both of them had gotten hurt, like your opinion of North Carolina would have to change so drastically. Like the point spreads would change, their offensive, the usage on the field. Like these, I mean, those are two guys who had 1,000 yards rushing each, 400 yards receiving each, and like 50 touchdowns. Like
and both guys drafted and expected to be starters for their respective NFL teams, Javonte right. In Denver and Carter with the Jets, of course.
And if you watch both those and rewatching that tape, you're just like, my God. But I mean, the segment's not about them, but the point is just like, that's a situation where I think a running, like, if they didn't play and North Carolina played Miami or played Clemson or played NC State, you'd be like, wow, I really got to really think about like how I want to reassess my handicap of this game, because they're just so important and the players backing them up are going to be so much worse. than the players that are on the field, like NFL star talent for a college team. In NFL cases, and people have heard this before, this that kind of narrative, but I think that's a good example of like, okay, like Cam Akers was better than everyone on the roster. Like, that's why he was going to play, because he was better. But like, is the difference between him and whoever's going to fill that usage so crazy different or so crazy worse at a position that's basically been disregarded by like advanced analytics people, that it requires an adjustment to like season long stuff from a betting standpoint. So like, I wouldn't expect the win total to change. Like, really? I mean, maybe a couple places like 5 cents or something, but like, I don't know if this is like a catalyst for someone to go bet the under on the Rams, which is what would happen if there was like a quarterback injury or something to any team. And Super Bowl odds, are they less likely to win the Super Bowl? Maybe in like some kind of like nebulous macro way, sure, like the ceiling of what they can be is a little different, okay, like I kind of buy that, but is that like tangible, like a percent number? No. You know, is Stafford less likely to win MVP? No. You know, or if it is, like it's a tiny amount. So I like, it's a crappy injury from, I mean, and there's a fantasy impact here that I'm sure people are going wild about, and you can maybe touch on that a little bit, but just from like a, does this make me want to make a bet or make me want to change how I view the team right now or the teams around them or the division? It's a crappy injury to a guy that was going to probably be really good this year. At the same time, like, I don't really change any of my projections, like big picture kind of stuff, in a way that makes me want to make a bet based off this news.
I agree completely. And it's kind of just a statement of fact. It's kind of unfortunate to say it, but like, the running back position doesn't really matter in the National Football League. And like, I get it. Like, there are some really great ones, like Tennessee without Derrick Henry. Like, that's a right. massive loss.
I mean, you don't want to have terrible ones. Like, you don't want to have like Trent Richardson, you know?
Look, Saquon Barkley goes out last year. Not that like Wayne Gallman is as good as Saquon.
Gallman made some money last year.
Yeah. Wayne Gallman filled in really nicely for Saquon Barkley last year. Like, we see this happen in the National Football League all the time, where guys come out of nowhere, end up having great seasons, certainly in the Shanahan system, both Mike and Kyle. We see this happen constantly here. So, look, the Cam Akers injury sucks. And I think on this show, You Better, You Bet specifically, you know, we, both you and I, and also a lot of our listeners and viewers, have a fondness for Cam Akers because we collectively won a lot of money on Cam Akers last year. Remember the Monday night game against Tampa Bay? We had him score a touchdown in the game at like plus 500. He scored. We had him over against Seattle, his rushing yards prop. We had him over big time against the Packers in the divisional round. So I think we were all really excited. And fantasy football players, and I know this is a gambling show and not a fantasy show. I love fantasy football. I'm guessing a lot of you listening and watching, you love fantasy football too. Cam Akers was due for just an absolutely ridiculous season. So this absolutely sucks from the fantasy perspective for that reason. But here's kind of the good news here. And like, there's no good news with the guy getting hurt. And hopefully he's back on the field as soon as possible. Darrell Henderson's really not bad. And we talked about Memphis earlier, betting on Memphis. Darrell Henderson, right, the former Memphis Tiger, is not as good as Cam Akers, but he's really not bad. And now I think he's kind of in line to have, and it'll be a committee, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll be splitting time. But I think Henderson kind of profiles now as like, he's going to be the lead back unless they sign someone or trade for someone. I don't know that they're going to do that. The Rams never have any like resources with which to trade, right? Because they traded all their picks away, right, et cetera here. And I don't see them like a pretty smart organization moving heaven and hell to acquire a running back here. So I'm with you, Kem. I don't think this does anything for as far as I view the Rams winning the division, their win total, winning a Super Bowl. It's really like a fantasy football injury. And right, obviously we feel bad for the young man as well.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ripple effect through statistical props, which I think there are some that are still up, but I'm going to guess most places, just when they get the news, they're going to yank everything that's even remotely related.
Henderson was up for a while. I know a lot of people were taking the Henderson over. I think it was 500 and a half rushing yards, and people were going over on that.
Right, and that's just a situation where like books are going to be asleep on this stuff sometimes. It's an NFL injury news during the off season, so it just like may not pop right away. And like, you know, you get a really good idea for who's asleep and who's not, honestly, but just with who pulls that stuff and who doesn't. So, you know, for the people who put that money in, good luck. Hope you get paid. And otherwise, like, I don't know if there's a ripple effect to make valuable bets. Like, do you bet more Stafford stat props because now like a weapon's gone? No, not really, because it's like scheme is kind of like scheme and balance is kind of like more about statistical props probably than like a specific injury to a guy. Like, what, I gotta stop using running backs? You know, it's like, it doesn't really affect what they're going to do. Do you want to,
maybe just because McVay wants to probably throw the ball, right, now that he's a quarterback that can actually do it.
Do any of, so, what was Big Ticket Show, whatever the name of this, the person who sent us the Twitter handle? Well, Big Ticket Show. So he sent us a bunch of Ram stuff. Let's start with this. Do any of those, so it was like win total, Stafford MVP, Rams to win the Super Bowl. Do any of those sound appealing to you?
No.
Stafford's a little appealing.
I love how you say this when you were the one that's been like driving the Matt Stafford's not going to play a full season bandwagon and probably is not going to.
I just said a little. I think I'm betting up. Well, I can't bet Rams to not win the Super Bowl yet, unless there's like a no price that sounds really awesome. I probably won't take a position on their win total as of right now. I can change my mind, but I definitely would not bet the over right now. So I just meant of the three, that's the only one that I would even like kind of like entertain a discussion on.
Can I play devil's advocate here? Yeah. You always play devil's advocate. Let me be Satan for a second here.
Yeah, but by all means. Yeah.
I'm gonna play Lucifer devil's advocate right now. Yeah. Yes, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Mephisto, right. Or right. Whatever other names. Nick. What other names he's known as.
Nick.
I like how our guy, and I went on his podcast earlier today, the -3 podcast, his Extra Points Podcast Network. Dave Damashek came on the show yesterday. And Dave said something, and I wanted to bring this up on the show today, and I forgot when I was on.
Mr. Ram.
Yeah. But like Dave, who's awesome and like really smart when it comes to the NFL, was going through like, I forget like what the expression he used was, but it was basically like, you know, there are all these players that we think are good, but they never actually perform. And the one guy that is actually not that is Matthew Stafford. He's the guy that actually, quarterback wins, he was talking about.
Yeah,
right?
There we go. Yep.
Where like, well, Stafford, it actually doesn't count for Matthew Stafford. I love how like, listen, I like Matthew Stafford. People smarter than me like Matthew Stafford. McVay loves Stafford. Kyle Shanahan has said like he loves, like a lot of guys love Matthew Stafford. Like, are we really sure that Matthew Stafford is going to be Aaron Rodgers just because he's being coached by Sean McVay? I'm not saying he's going to have a bad season. I'm not saying that. I think the Rams are going to have a good season. I just don't know if I want to bet any of these things here. But it's like, we just assume that Stafford goes from Motown to Hollywood, and now he's going to throw 45 touchdowns. I'm just saying, like, the whole quarterback wins thing, he's got to be involved in that, right? Like, he can't be exempt from this. He just can't be exempt. So I don't know that I'm as bullish on Stafford this year as some other people are. Again, I'm not saying he's going to have a bad season. I just don't know if he's going to be able to win league MVP.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the reason why I said Stafford's the only one that looks appealing is just the other markets, you know, win total to win the Super Bowl, all that stuff, project the Rams to be the type of team that could produce an MVP candidate, you know, as opposed to talking about like we did Kyler Murray MVP yesterday. And I would really push back on the idea that the Cardinals have like even some remote chances of going like 13-4, 14-3 based on the division and the schedule that they play, and that they're less talented than the Rams, honestly. And their coach, actually, and they're going to have to play some one score games this year. So that's the only thing I mean with Stafford. Like, do I have a dollar on Rams anything right now? No. Am I probably going to bet any of them? No. If I had to bet any of the ones we just listed, Rams 10.5 to win the Super Bowl, to win the NFC, we could throw a division in there too, or Stafford, like which one, or coach of the year McVay, which I would never bet in a billion years. Which one? They literally have to go like undefeated for him to win the award based on how they played last year. I would bet Stafford before I would bet any of those. Probably not going to play any of them. I think the Rams are going to be really good. So does the market. I have questions about Stafford. He's already pretty low priced, but just because they profile as a team that really could produce an MVP candidate a lot of the time, that's the only reason why I say he's remotely interesting.
You bet BetQL. Costos Barkley Tuesday running through NFL futures bets based off your tweets here at You Better You Bet on Twitter. The thing that, and we'll get off the Rams in a second. The thing that gives me the most pause this year with betting anything Rams related on the positive side, it's not Matthew Stafford. It's not Cam Akers' injury. It's not Sean McVay. It's none of these things. It's the fact that Brandon Staley, last year's defensive coordinator, is now in Los Angeles with the Chargers. And I said yesterday on the show, a lot of smart people are saying this. Not, I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm just saying that the opinion is shared by people that I respect. Right. That Brandon
you're
Staley.
Smart too. You can give yourself some
thanks.
Credit.
Yeah. I don't like to do that too often.
And he followed Wade Phillips, to be fair. True, right? Like did he follow right after Wade Phillips?
He did. So, and they let Wade Phillips go to bring Staley in. And looks, Wade Phillips, you can make the case Wade's a Hall of Fame defensive coach.
Yes.
You can make that case.
It's an easy case. Yeah.
Guess what? Brandon Staley was better than he was last year. Brandon Staley deployed the Rams defense better than Wade Phillips did. Staley gets a coaching job with the LA Chargers. I think Staley's got a chance to be one of, if not the next great coaches in the National Football League. Raheem Morris is replacing Brandon Staley. It's not that Raheem Morris like can't be a great defensive coordinator. He's been a very good defensive coordinator in the past. Did a really nice job last year filling in for Dan Quinn on an interim basis as the Falcons head coach. It's not an anti-Raheem Morris take. It's just that you go from Brandon Staley to like anybody And I feel like it's going to be a downgrade schematically with what the Rams did last year, unless Raheem's just going to run the same thing Staley ran, which is basically deploy Donald and deploy Jalen Ramsey all over the place in an effort to maximize them, minimize the other shortcomings that you have on the defense, because the talent level is not great outside of those two guys. So maybe Raheem does that. I'm just saying he's not Staley. There probably aren't a lot of coaches that are. That's something that would concern me as well with the Rams if I'm looking to bet Super Bowl division over win total.
Well, I mean, that's something we can put a different way, and this can be my last point. We can try to do one other team or one other bet before we take a break. This will be the first year that Sean McVay has been the coach of the Rams where Phillips and Staley haven't been the defensive coordinator, right? Phillips was the first year defensive coordinator when McVay was the head coach. So it's kind of interesting, like, if the Rams were going to be worse, like, you could see it coming a little bit because, like, obviously McVay spends all his time with the offense. There's famous shots of him, like, on the bench, on sitting on the Gatorade cooler on the sideline, like, while the offense is off the field, reconsidering and everything. It's kind of interesting that, like, if Staley's that guy that you think he is, this will be the first year McVay's coached the team where he hasn't had, like, a insane top 1% defensive coordinator in the history of the league on his team. First time that's been true.
Someone, David Fletcher in our YouTube chat saying Raheem Morris was an awful head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I would actually argue more that Josh Freeman was terrible. That would just be my argument. I actually liked Raheem as the head coach.
Well, my point was just that may be true, but just like, I mean, we see like Todd Bowles is a great defensive coordinator for Tampa. He was a terrible head coach for the Jets. Like, I mean, just.
I actually kind of think that I'm not saying Bowles was great. I don't think he's as bad as like everyone made him out to be. I'm not saying I would want Mike to hire him, but.
But he can. Okay. But there's a difference between how good he is as a coordinator and how good he is as a coach. How about that?
All right. We still have a lot of tweets to get to. A lot of offensive rookie of the year ones, which are a lot of fun. Ken and I really like those. Some coach of the year ones, which are fun. Some more Super Bowl bets. So we're going to do that in the final segment coming up this hour. But coming up next, Will Brinson from CBS Sports joins the show of the Pick Six podcast. And we're going to get some of Will's picks for the futures market, including a very interesting one that Will Brinson's got for NFL offensive rookie of the year. Will Brinson joins the show right after this.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
In the final hour of today's show, on today, what could potentially be the final day of the NBA season, our bets side total
props.
Game six, Bucks and Suns, all coming up in the final hour. Myself, I got 10 of them. Ken Barkley, he's got 5. Rick Camp, I don't know how many Rick's got. And Tyler Morales could have a couple as well. So we have you locked and loaded. All the NBA finals bets you need for tonight in game number six coming up in the power hour. And in case you missed it, check out at You Better You Bet on Twitter. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And check out Brian Scalabrini's interview with us from last hour. Scal has been killing the playoffs here on You Better You Bet. Gave a really strong lean. I guess it wasn't a lean, right? It was like an outright play on the side of tonight's game and a couple props for tonight as well, courtesy of the great Brian Scalabrini. In the first segment of this hour, we spend time talking about some National Football League futures bets centered around the Rams. In the segment to come, we will do that. We will revisit some of your tweets from the last couple days at You Better You Bet on your favorite NFL futures plays. But joining us right now to give us some of his, and I know he was thrilled today. I think he's actually on vacation right now, so we'll see how this goes. Our executive producer, Eli Herskovich, texted him to ask him for his futures plays. And he responded back with something I cannot repeat on a family-friendly show with the FCC monitoring us. He is the one, the only, the great Will Brinson from CBS Sports and the Pick Six podcast, who's nice enough to join us here on a Tuesday. Will, what's going on? Welcome back to You Better You Bet, Nick and Ken. I'd ask you how you're doing, but I think you're doing great. You're on vacation right now, right?
No, I'm not on vacation. I'm back from vacation. I think I pulled in 15 minutes earlier when Eli texted me that, and like, I was getting lit up by my wife on it's 4 to 5 different issues, including the fact that I lost my phone over the weekend at a concert, which is not sitting well with her. And it's been found, so Don't worry about it. But that's why
we
prompted my response. Like, I don't know what my picks are for Super Bowl. I think it's like freaking July 20th. I don't know who I'm going to pick for the MVP right now. I do have some bets that I put in earlier in the season. I don't know how they'll line up with odds at, you know, the BetQL odds and all that, but I kind of like what I've got early on.
The BetQL odds. Also, by the way, Will tweeted joining them, the guys right now, to talk some NFL narratives. Come soak in these surface level storylines with me and the guys. It's a great line. Anyway, Ken, that's a solid tweet from the.
Well, and I was going to ask what concert, Will? Where'd you lose your phone?
The band Widespread Panic down in Wilmington.
Oh, yes.
Which was just a fun allegory to what you and your wife felt, I'm sure, when the phone was lost, when the phone was gone.
Yeah.
And here's what's great. And I think we've talked about this before, not to belabor the point, but me, Will, Pete, Frisco, Jamie Eisenberg were on this day. And like, we were all asking, like, where's Will? And now we know the answer. Will lost his phone at a concert.
Right.
So now that question has been answered. So Will, I know
dispatch.
That. So, and Will, by the way, is a big fish guy. Will, Cam Akers, done for the season. Know you love the Rams this year. Know you love Matthew Stafford. How, if at all, does the Cam Akers injury change the way you view the LA Rams?
Well, here's the thing with the Cam Akers injury. I was just talking about this on my podcast for NFC West Burning Questions thing that's going to come out. This shouldn't change how you feel about the Rams that much. Cam Akers is an awesome player. But if you now go from, I think the Rams can win the Super Bowl to, I think the Rams might finish in third place in the division because a running back got hurt, then the reality is you probably didn't like the Rams for the right reasons in the first place. Now, Cam Akers is going to kill a bunch of best ball teams. He's going to ruin a bunch of prop bets on season totals for rushing yards. He's going to drastically inflate Daryl Henderson's fantasy value. He is going to create – it's going to be tough for the Rams to replace him. He looked like a legitimate feature back that made you look at this offense and say, man, this team can really cook if they get going and they get a healthy Matthew Stafford in there. But I do think it's a reminder of the fragility – of these NFL rosters when we start just doing depth chart scouting and trying to figure out, who's got these stars at these positions? Because now suddenly the Rams just have a little less pop to them. It sucks. I wanted to see a full season of Cam Akers. I think it might be enough to get to push. I had the 49ers and Rams kind of in a tiebreak situation. So I think that might be enough for me to push the Niners ahead of the Rams in terms of who I think will win the division.
So, Will, you kind of you mentioned right at the end there, like a bet that you might make as a result of Cam Akers getting hurt. That was kind of my question. We can expand it out from there. So we did a bunch of Rams bets last segment. You know, should we bet Stafford to win MVP? Not necessarily based on this news, but just in general. Should we bet Stafford to win MVP? Should we bet the Rams over under their win total? You mentioned, division might be like a place to attack. Like any other bets that you're kind of contemplating that involve the Rams? Like, do you like... how do you feel about Seattle and Arizona? Are there other players in the division? Like, what is kind of the full ripple effect in terms of your bets from either this news or how you feel about the Rams?
Yeah, look, Daryl Henderson, Jordan Rodrigue, who does a great job for The Athletic, I've known her for a long time. She was at Charlotte Observer before. She pointed out on Twitter today that watch what the Rams do, and this is sort of obvious, but watch what the Rams do in terms of their personnel because they have concerns about Daryl Henderson's durability. And look, the reality is, you don't need to have a great running game to be a great NFL team. We've seen that. It's not necessary for modern NFL teams. Look at the Bills last year. But the way that the Rams are set up, they are going to want to be able to close games out with the run game. And I think they'd like to use the run stuff to set up the pass. And I just don't know that if Daryl Henderson isn't healthy, if they have they're not bringing back Todd Gurley, right? So I would think that there is some because of the way that the Rams have been inflated this offseason, just the way that the hype has gone, probably over the top, and this is why I haven't bet anything on the Rams prior to this. It was the prices were just kind of out of whack, that now there is some value in, taking a look at the Seahawks, who are almost 3-1 to win the division with Russell Wilson at quarterback, or the Cardinals that, I'm seeing 5-1-ish, bringing up a site really quickly. If Kyler Murray takes a leap in his third year, and everybody sort of thought he'd do it last year and got disappointed, he also got injured, that there's some value there at those teams at 3-1 and the Cardinals at 5-1 in to win that division. So, yeah, I think it's almost unfortunate because the Cam Akers injury I saw really dialed back the Rams' odds a little bit, which, again, is kind of crazy. There was more value before the injury, obviously, but I think the Seahawks, all four teams in this division are live. So I wouldn't want to be loaded up on the Rams at sub 2-1 here.
You better, you bet, BetQL. Nick Costos and Barkley chat in National Football League with Will Brinson from CBS Sports, the host of the Pick Six podcast. Will, you mentioned that you've got San Francisco kind of like neck and neck with the LA Rams here. Maybe give the Niners a slight edge now with the Cam Akers injury. I feel like, I know that San Francisco's win total is high, and I know that they have about the same odds with the Rams to win the division. I actually feel, though, just based on a lot of guests we've had on, the way Ken feels, I think, and I don't want to speak for him, but I'm pretty sure I can hear the way that I feel like that's almost a little contrarian, Will, that you kind of feel like San Francisco might actually be the best team in the division. So talk to us about why you like the Niners so much. And I know that dovetails in with an early thought you have, Will, for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and feel free, once I say the name, to throw out the odds for potential running backs in San Francisco, rookie running backs to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I'll tell you what number I got. I just don't, I don't have the BetRivers app open in front of me. I
25-1 is the guy is Trey Sermon, and it's 25-1.
Yeah. Okay, I got him at 32-1. 25-1 still fine for me. First of all, I don't know if you guys have noticed this when Football Outsiders published it back in May, but adjusted games lost is a kind of a big indicator from advanced stat perspective about how a team might perform from an injury standpoint the following year. Basically, short version is that all NFL teams over a lengthy enough course of time, with the exception of the Washington football team and the Chargers of Los Angeles and San Diego because they have terrible training staffs, will tend to migrate towards the middle in terms of how many games you lose per year to injury. It just sort of some year you lose a ton, some years you don't lose many, you know, but eventually you kind of migrate towards the middle. The San Francisco 49ers, and this last year does include COVID games lost as well, but the fewest games lost last year to injury or COVID, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 30, the Rams, 45. Those are the two fewest lost. The most lost, San Francisco, 166.6. which is a massive number. The Jets of 2019 lost 160. You know, 130 is like a pretty big number for a team. And the 49ers lost 100, almost 170. That's a team that should bounce back in terms of some injury regression the following season. And that's why there's a reason to like the 49ers if they stay healthy. Let's not forget they added Trey Lance, which, again, I've been saying all along, I didn't think they were going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo because I believe Kyle Shanahan likes the idea of having multiple quarterbacks that, you know, if Jimmy G stinks, they can bail him out. The other thing, you look at their point differential, and we can, you know, this is a fairly simple mathematical thing. I'm not going like Lockie Lockerson here, but point differential is your expected win-loss, right? They won six games. Their point differential says they're a 7.7 win team. When you add in that and you add in all the injuries, that's a team that's primed to bounce back. And given what we know about San Francisco and the coaching staff, should probably be favored in that division. And I think that they're good value at anything at plus 150 or more, maybe really plus 125 or more. So I'll be taking them at plus 179, which I see locally for me. As for the Trey Sermon thing, I got him at 32 and change to one. I just think you're going to see him come in as a zone, you know, one cut zone running back, perfect for that system, who is going to take over that job. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson are explosive. I don't think they're feature backs. I do think Trey Sermon is. It's the most draft capital Kyle Shanahan's ever spent on a running back, I believe. And I would anticipate that he sees plenty of run, you know, plenty of run early on. At that price, it's great value.
Will, I won't, and good stuff there on the 49ers too, by the way. I won't do as grand of a setup on Defensive Rookie of the Year. Suffice to say, there are two bets that you've made. They are currently 8-1 and 25-1. Tell us who you like to win Defensive Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah, so Defensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year, you have to have stats. I mean, no duh, right? But you need to have, think about it like this. You are this is not.
Jeez, I mean, you're like Pascal here with all these mathematical thoughts here. Just get to the bets, buddy. I mean, you got to have stats.
Right, here's my point, Costos. You got pea brains like Prisco who are the ones making the picks on Defensive Rookie of the Year. You think this guy's doing a deep dive? No, he's like, who's got the most sacks? All right, that guy wins. Let's go. Move next. I got to work out of these ropes outside of my penthouse in Florida.
Actually, yeah.
Yes. So I know. You need a guy who can rack up stats. And to me, the two guys that have the best chance to do that with a complete absence of a pure, true edge rusher like a Chase Young or a Nick Bosa or a Joey Bosa this year, one, Jim and Davis, who the Washington football team drafted in the first round, this guy's a tackling machine. He flies everywhere. Ironically, Prisco loves him, and he's going to pilot tackles for them. He's going to be active early on, and he's going to put up the kind of stats like Luke Kuechly, et cetera, where you can win that award. The other guy falls right in line. Antoine Winfield Jr. could have won it last year with his numbers. It just happened Chase Young was there. Asante Samuel's the same guy. He's short. So people undervalued him. He's just a ball hawk who makes plays. If he has a couple of big picks for, you know, a team that ends up making a leap forward like the Chargers, all of a sudden he should be in the conversation. At 8-1, I like Davis. 25-1, love Samuel.
Will, give us maybe we'll get your thoughts on the 3M to close here. I know like that was like what you gave us for the future stuff, and that was really good. Give us something that you like here, like maybe like a win total, team to win a division, MVP, Super Bowl, anything else that you like that you're hot on, that you're percolating on right now as we're about to open up some training camps on Wednesday.
Let's see. I'm too busy trying to sweat out all these Suns futures that are about to blow up in my face somehow. Thankfully, I got a little Giannis to win MVP at plus money before he was back. I still think, the two that I think are really undervalued right now, and this is laying some juice, so maybe I sound like a donkey doing this. I just think that the Bills minus 150 and the Buccaneers minus 160 are division. They are the best teams in their division, and they are currently underpriced at anything less than minus 200. Now, laying minus 200 over a season-long future, whether it's with a credit book or putting it, you know, in, you got to deposit it and let it sit there for the full season. I get that that's not fun, but the Bills and the Bucs probably have two of the best rosters, probably the two best rosters in football. And they should win those divisions pretty easily. And when you look at the rest of the division, the Falcons have Matt Ryan, a lot of questions. They trade Julio. The Saints are either going with Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill. The Panthers have Sam Darnold that they hope will bounce back. The Buccaneers, if they're healthy, are winning that division. With Tom Brady healthy, winning that division. Same thing in the AFC East, right? Cam Newton versus Mac Jones, we're still unsure about both those guys. The Jets aren't close to being where they're going to win. And two is a major question mark, even if you think he's a nice buy low. The Bills should roll in that division. I like the Bills over win total. I know it's high. It's like 11 now. I got it at 10.5. But I like them to win the division and the Buccaneers to win the division. Sort of as kind of not contrarian donkey plays, but they should be favored like the Chiefs to win their divisions, and they're not for some reason.
If those are donkey plays, then you know what I have to say? Hee-haw, because I like both of them. Well, let's close with this. We got about 30 seconds left, literally, because we have a break's going to fire. Anything you like on the 3M coming up this weekend in golf?
I don't have a ton. I haven't done a ton of research because I just got back in town this afternoon, but I'm going to pick Mav McNealy to win. How about that?
Okay, great.
The old Maverick McNealy.
Listen, I picked Colin Morikawa last week because he's Japanese. Well, good stuff, buddy. Check him out on the Pick Six podcast, CBSSports.com, and on Twitter, of course, at Will Brinson. Stay well. Happy you found the phone. Give our love to the family. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, boy. See you, boys.
All right. That's our pal, Will Brinson, here with us on You Better, You Bet. Yeah, kind of really like the Bucks to win the NFC South also.
Yeah, I talked about it a lot on Friday with Moose. I was just like, I think I'm going to end up with a bunch of Tampa this year. Maybe not win total over, maybe, but division, maybe some Brady MVP. They're just like, they're just such a monster.
They're ridiculous. They're going to be awesome again, right? There's no question about it. Okay, coming up next, we continue to hit your tweets on the NFL futures market. Offensive rookie of the year, coach of the year, Super Bowl, oh my, as we close out hour number two.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Bring it up, Rick. Wait for it. So weird. It's like Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it's absolutely Wile E. Coyote. Yipes. That's a...
Okay, now hold on. Wait for it. Oh, it's awesome. Final segment here, hour number two on a Tuesday, BetQL, Costos and Barkley, presented by Bet Rivers. Visit BetRivers.com, download the Bet Rivers app, deposit $250. You'll get a $250 match. The best lines, the best customer service. It is your hometown sportsbook. That hometown sportsbook is Bet Rivers. I did that like Mr. Plow. Like, Bet Rivers is your hometown sportsbook. That hometown sportsbook is Bet Rivers. And make sure you download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com for all the tools you need to beat the sportsbooks, including, of course, Dem algorithms. Reed Wallach joins the show in the Power Hour. Give us BetQL's five-star plays for tonight. Ken's got his plays for the Bucks and the Suns. I've got mine. Rick's got his. We'll see if any of the rest of the crew has any. That's coming up final hour of the show in the Power Hour. But we close hour number two with more National Football League talk, with a lot of the tweets that you guys have sent us the last couple days at You Better You Bet on the NFL futures market. So basically the entire first segment devoted to the Cam Akers injury and how we feel about the Los Angeles Rams. Ken, we got so many answers here. We can kind of go anywhere we want to on the board, save some of these for tomorrow. Would you prefer to do some coach of the year here or some offensive rookie of the year? Dealer's choice. What do you like?
Let's do some more coach of the year. That just sounds, coach of the year is always going to sound more interesting to me. I just think it's fascinating.
You love coach of the year. So let's,
I do. It's really fun for me. Yeah.
Okay. Our pal, Jeff Feinberg, who has come on the show a bunch. Jeff is awesome. Mayo Media does stuff with DraftKings as well, I believe. Yeah. Jeff's awesome. G Feinberg 17, I believe, is his Twitter account. Jeff's great. We love having him on the show. Jeff is a diehard fan of the Los Angeles Chargers, so I know he's been pretty happy with what we've had to say, especially me. I love me some Brandon Staley. Jeff tweeted us yesterday. He's got a ticket on Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, to win coach of the year at plus 1700 per our executive producer, Eli Herskovich. Sean McDermott is the fourth most popular coach of the year bet right now at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. I think we expect Buffalo, went to the AFC Championship game last year, to win a lot of games this year. Ken, how do you feel about Sean McDermott from our pal Jeff Feinberg, plus 1700 to win coach of the year?
Let's do the why I like McDermott first as a coach. And why?
Yes,
like,
before you bring the hammer down and you hate the bet. Yes, go
the ahead. Hammer's being raised. The hammer's being raised right now. I meant that as in terms of I can see why the bet would be placed. I believe Sean McDermott year four with Buffalo this year, right? Is it year four, or year five?
Year four.
Year four.
2 years. 2 years with Allen, or 3 years. Yep. This might be year all five three. For McDermott.
Yeah, you're right. I have it
because he had a year with Tyrod also when they went to the playoffs and lost to Jacksonville, right?
That's a bad job. I can have it open actually in a second. My point was just he's gone over his win total number every single year that he's been the coach of Buffalo. So like coaches that outperform expectation like that, Mike Vrabel was a guy like that. Like I think he's gone over with Tennessee each year. There are just certain guys where it's like Sean Payton goes over like a crazy amount versus expectation, even when he's at quarterback injuries every time. So like that's one reason where you'd be like, wow, like this coach is insane. And this team's going to be so good. Like, I want to bet on this guy to win coach of the year. So intuitively, it kind of makes sense. The problem is just the history of the award indicates that you basically need a team to come from crap to be amazing. Like, that's how everyone wins, with very few exceptions. And you would have to be one of the exceptions to be McDermott. So it's not that McDermott can't win. It's just that you're betting on, like, the exception at a pretty low price, as opposed to the rule at a certain price. So, like, there are teams that have performed in a way where a guy like McDermott could win. Andy Reid won with the Eagles one time when there was, like, no other better option, and the Eagles had an insanely good season. Like, Bill Belichick went undefeated. So obviously they won, I think, 12 the year before or 11 the year before, and then went undefeated. Obviously he won Coach of the Year because they went undefeated. So there are ways to get there, but that's, like, in the 30-year history of looking back at the award, I think since 1990 is, like, where my records go back to. Like, there's really only, like, three or four cases where a team was really good and then was so much better and was so awesome, and there were no other deserving candidates, where they won. Most of the time it's a narrative award. It's like, good job turning the team around. That's basically what the award is for. McDermott's already turned the team around. They're awesome. They're really good, and he's an awesome coach. But that does not mean I would bet him to win Coach of the Year for that reason.
All right, so Jeff Feinberg, hope you win, buddy, because we love you. But yeah, don't.
They got to go. They go 16-1. He can win. They got to go 16-1.
It's just not outside the realm of possibility. So
it can happen.
Courtesy of our guy, Jeff Feinberg. Yeah. I echo everything Ken just said just now. Love Sean McDermott as a coach. I don't think he can win Coach of the Year. Let's go to, and we mentioned that McDermott is the fourth most popular bet to win Coach of the Year at Bet Rivers.
Oh, I have his tenure here too, by the way, before we move on. I just opened up, my Excel book finally opened up. Let me just get over to Buffalo real quick. This is going to be year five. So we had the Tyrod Taylor year where Peterman started twice too. Remember Nathan Peterman?
Remember when he started like Peterman was his guy, was McDermott's guy.
Right.
And threw four interceptions and one half against the Raiders, and three of them were pick sixes.
Peterman started more games the following year, Allen's rookie year, 2018. So this is year four of McDermott with Allen, but this is year five of him overall. So you were right about that. They had a Tyrod Taylor year. I had forgotten about that season. And he has been the coach for 4 years entering the season. Win totals of 6.5, 5.5, 7, and 9, and he's gone over all four times as coach of the Bills.
And McDermott, the fourth most popular Coach of the Year bet at Bet Rivers, the most popular bet to win Coach of the Year at Bet Rivers right now, is the head coach of the Washington football team, Ron Rivera, who sits at 14-1 right now, plus 1,400, at We Out Here 23. Yeah, we see you because you're out here. Likes Ron Rivera, Ken. How do you feel about Riverboat Ron at plus 1,400?
One of my absolute favorite Coach of the Year bets last season. But don't like him as much this year. And it was because, like, the setup was incredible. Like, it was, you have a guy who's won the award twice before with Carolina. The craziest thing about Ron Rivera, like, you know, is he a Hall of Fame coach, Ron Rivera?
No,
right?
No,
but
not even close.
But, like, but when it's
that's not
when
meant
it's
to this, be insulting, by the way.
No. And I have trouble. Like, my frame of reference for this stuff is always terrible. I mean, I guess, like, I could have known the answer was no. Maybe if they beat Denver. But, like, he won Coach of the Year, then was terrible the following year, then the year after that was so good again, he won Coach of the Year again. It's like the most amazing. It's like yeah, but he also made him bad the year. But, like, what? I don't understand. Like, how could you win
twice? How stupid this award is.
Right? Just the stupidest award. Well, look at Rivera's doing. Well, what did he do the year before to, like, deserve this award the following year? Just so funny. Loved him the last year because they had been so bad. You make the coaching change. Felt like they were at least going to be pretty good. And it wouldn't have taken much for him to win last year. Now the problem is, like, again, it's not exactly the same as Buffalo, because Buffalo is supposed to be awesome, but it's like, now you already have the weight of expectations, and Coach of the Year generally given to a team that does not have the weight of expectations. Not necessarily always true. Stefanski had a ton of expectations last year, and because of the narrative of them making the playoffs for the first time in so long, got him the award, and they won more, obviously, than they had the year before. The type of season that gets him the award, and maybe this depends on kind of how you feel about Washington. Like, I think Washington's average season this year is really good. Like, I think their average season is like 9 or 10 a lot.
Okay.
We'll probably end up with a win total over on them.
They got to win 13. They got to win 13 for him to win this.
And I got to be honest, like, if Fitzpatrick's your quarterback, I actually think those seasons are impossible. But I think your floor is also very high. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I think Washington's 8, 9, 10 so often this year. like they're gonna be good. They have a ton of talent. Like, if Fitzpatrick, cool, he could turn the ball over 30 times, and I guess they could be way worse than that, but it just seems like their range of outcomes is actually more clustered around, like, I guess 7, 8, 9, 10, but really like 8, 9, 10 to me, than most teams, where it's like anything wouldn't surprise me. A very good season for Washington, I think, is like I think that's a huge long shot. Like, you'd almost rather take a team you don't even like very much, but who could have a quarterback who could go like nuclear. Like Carolina has a win total that is a full win less than Washington, but Carolina has those types of seasons more just because of the unknown of what Darnold is, because he could be so bad, but he could also be like good enough that they could win a lot of games. That's kind of how I would look at it.
You better, you bet. BetQL, Costos, and Barkley wrapping up hour number two here on a Tuesday with thoughts on the NFL futures market, talking right now about the Washington football team, Ron Rivera, and their quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, I feel like you and I have kind of been driving the WFT bandwagon. We liked Washington before the draft, saying, look, take this team at this price to win the NFC East. I think we said that at plus 375 or plus 400. Obviously, yep, that's not the price anymore. And we've kind of said, like, we like Washington in the division. I don't like Dallas's defense. I don't trust Daniel Jones. Maybe like the Eagles, maybe a year away here. Kind of the more I think about it with Washington, I'm not saying that, like, I'm off the take. I'm not saying that I'm off Washington, that they're going to be bad. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick for 17 games.
Yeah, they're like an average good team, but they're an average good team like so often, and that's actually going to be good enough to win the division.
How many games does Taylor Heinicke start this year for Washington?
Two-ish. One and a half is probably the number.
I think it might be more than that.
Can I give you another take?
Fitzpatrick could get benched at some point, and then he could come back and be like, Dan Marino, I'm not saying that can't happen, but...
Yeah, well, that goes to my point. Like, if you're going to bet teams for long shot futures, so coach of the year is kind of a long shot future, like you got to be awesome. MVP is a long shot future. Most regular season wins would be a long shot future. Anything that's like season long, insane, sustained success, don't bet Washington in any of them. That would actually be one of my least favorite. I would almost rather bet, like, who's a terrible, like, I was going to say the Giants. I don't know if that's true. Like Vegas even, like, I'm just looking at terrible teams. Cincinnati, definitely. Chicago, definitely. Carolina, definitely. I'd rather bet all those teams before Washington for like the insane success awards, where it's like you got to be in like so good, and just Washington can't be that. Like they're so limited by their quarterback. What was your take, though?
Because we don't have a lot of time here. You said like you had a take on the Heinicke stuff, maybe.
Oh no, I was going to say every time I think more about Philadelphia, I like them more. That was going to be my take.
No, I kind of agree with that.
I think I want both to win the division. Sick. Yeah.
Do you know who I don't like this year in the NFC East? My team.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Daniel Jones sucks.
Right.
Like, that's your problem. This is what it is. That's right. And it, like, yes, like it's the biggest problem you could
possibly. It's kind of a big problem. Next year may not be a problem. We'll see.
But are the Giants going to come in last? They
probably
are. Right?
Probably. Yeah.
That is really depressing.
Play a lot of close games, maybe, like last year. Yay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of bracing for this now at this point that, like, the Giants...
You got Denver at home in week one, though. I mean, at least you're going to... You got Washington after that. You got Atlanta at home week three.
They're going to lose, like 13-12 in the season opener to Denver, and it's going to be...
Yeah. That's definitely the field goal fest game one week of the... That's, like, total field goal fest, whatever the over for field goals is.
All right. All right, we're half done with You Better You Bet. Still have the show to go, including the Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight, so stay tuned for that between the Bucks and the Suns. Next hour, Noobs joins us, NBA, J-Maz on the 3M, PGA, and we start the hour with what we're not talking about over the final 2 hours.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.